Amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well this morning. I trust it's just been a blessing being in the Lord's house this morning. And certainly the music has all been wonderful today. And we've enjoyed our time here in God's house. And now we get to look to the Bible, God's Word. I'd encourage you to take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 4 this morning. Genesis chapter 4. And here we have an account of the first family that God created. Adam and Eve, and of course their two boys, Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 4. Once you've found your place in God's Word, if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word this morning, we're going to read verses 1 down through verse 7 today. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 down through verse 7. The Bible says there in verse 1, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Verse 7 is our text verse this morning. The Bible says, If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. I want to preach a message entitled this morning, Cain was given a chance to make a change. Cain given a chance to make a change. Let's pray and then you can be seated. Lord, we again come before you this morning and we are so grateful and thankful for the opportunity to be gathered here. Lord, we're thankful for to be able to hold a copy of your word in our hands today and to read it. We're thankful to hear, Lord, the message that you've given to us. Lord, what a blessing the songs have been this morning. What a blessing the congregational singing has been. And Lord, now we turn our attention to your word today. And I pray that you'd be with us, Lord. Pray that you'd be with me as I preach and be with those that'll be under the sound of my voice today. Lord, I pray that you'd take this message, Lord, clear my mind and give me what you would have me to speak. And I pray that you'd help us to apply it in our hearts and our lives. We love you and we thank you for all these things. In your name I pray. Amen. And you can be seated. Here, obviously, I think most of us are familiar with the first family that God created. Adam and Eve, and then the Lord gives Adam and Eve two sons. The firstborn son was Cain, and I love what Eve says about her son. She says, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She acknowledged God's gift to her, and certainly every child is a precious gift from God, and God is the giver of life, and what a blessing that is. And so we see that God, initially at least, gave them two sons. Cain was the firstborn, and Abel was the secondborn child to them, and in a very quick process of time here in the Scriptures, the Bible shows them growing up, and both of them take an occupation. The Bible tells us that Cain, he was a tiller of the ground. He would have done the gardening. He would have cared for the earth and the ground that there was. And the Bible tells us of Abel that he was a keeper of the sheep. Abel would have dealt with the animals. He would have been the shepherd, if you will. And then we see as well in a process of time, the Bible says. The Bible says there in verse 3, And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, many Bible historians believe that this was something that God had commanded them to bring to him, that he would have spoken either through Adam or to them directly and asked them to bring an offering of what they had worked for and bring that to God. And so we see that in a process of time that happened and they brought an offering to God. The Bible tells us out of the work that they had done, they brought an offering to God. And the Bible's very clear on this. The Bible says God accepts Abel's offering. It says he had respect unto Abel. But he rejects Cain's offering. The Bible says to Cain's offering he didn't have respect. He looked at Abel's offering and what he brought to him, and he accepted that offering. And he looked at Cain's offering, and he didn't accept that offering. But here's what I want you to see. God, in rejecting Cain's offering, came to him and gave him a chance to change that offering. Gave him a chance to change his heart in offering that. But as a result, instead of Cain changing his heart, he hardened his heart towards God. He said, I'm doing what I want to do. And he went out and committed the first murder against his own flesh and blood. What a tragic story. That could have been so much different had he simply yielded to God. As we study this message this morning, or this passage, we can observe that Cain was given a chance to make a change. Chance to make a change. I want you to see very quickly as we go through this passage this morning. First of all, look at the description that God gives us of Cain. We can pull out of this passage several things that help us to know Cain a little bit better. First of all, we know that he was the oldest child. He was the firstborn and therefore would have had the birthright. Many of you are familiar with the Old Testament and the idea of the first child having the blessing, the birthright that was due to them, and so that would have been Cain. Now, many Bible historians, again, believe that Cain and Abel would have been twins. And listen, the Bible never tells us that directly, and that I suppose that could have been the case. But from what we understand from the Scriptures, that Cain was the firstborn. He was the eldest brother. The Bible, obviously, it doesn't say so in this passage, but we understand this idea that Cain was made in the image of God. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, as of all life, when God created life, he said this, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Understand this, that Cain was given a spiritual nature. He was given the ability to choose between right and wrong. Much like all of us are. Listen, all of us are created in the image of God, and we have the ability to choose between right and wrong. Then we also see of Cain's occupation that he was a tiller of the ground. I understand, and I would think that Cain probably would have been a hard worker, working with his hands, taking pride in the work that he had done. Listen, we understand that God had given mankind dominion over the animals, and so Abel took care of the animals. And the Bible tells us because of the curse of sin that the ground would have to be cared for, so Cain took the job of taking care of the earth. And listen, I believe that would have been Cain's calling in life. He would have been doing exactly what he was put on this earth to do. He was fulfilling that responsibility, and no doubt both hard workers, and probably both took pride in what they did. But what may jump out at me more in this passage than any other description of Cain was the idea that Cain tended to be a very selfish person, only thinking about what he wanted to do. In fact, God reveals quite a bit to us in giving us a description of Cain and Abel's offerings. Would you look there very quickly about those offerings? The Bible says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, of the fruit that he had taken from the ground. The Bible says, in Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And so you see these two offerings that were offered to God between Cain and Abel, and Cain offered of the fruit of the ground. I honestly believe that as Cain went out and tilled the field and he took care of the crops and the things that were there in the field, that at the time of the offering to God, he took of his abundance. Possibly took a little off the top, if you will. I'm not going to miss this. I have plenty of other things, and so this is what I'll offer to God. In retrospect, as you look back on that, you also see that Abel, his description, he brought the firstling of the flock and of the fat thereof. Abel's offering was the very best of what he had. The very best. Listen, it would have been somewhat of a sacrifice for Abel to present to God the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof, and yet you don't get that sense when you read the description. And if you're not careful, you can gloss right over that offering, and yet it shows us some of the selfish nature of Cain. I want to hold back. I want to keep this. I don't want to lose this. In fact, one of the commentators said this, Cain's giving was more out of formality than rather a heart of devotion. In other words, when God came to Cain and Abel and he said, listen, this is what I require of you, bring an offering to the Lord. Listen, Abel's was out of devotion and Cain's was out of a formality. Well, I guess I have to bring something to God. I say to you this morning, as we think about this, you can tell much of your own heart for God by your offerings to Him. And listen, I'm not specifically just speaking of finances this morning. I'm speaking of in every area of our lives, what is it that we offer to God? Is it out of a heart of devotion, or is it out of a heart of what I have left to give to Him? I am speaking of finances, but I'm also speaking about ministry. The things that God has called you to. Listen, when you show up to labor for the Lord, do you only have what's in the reserve tank? Or are you giving God your best? In every area of life, listen, is it what I have left? Sometimes we show up on Sunday, and I understand, listen, it can be a weary world in which we live in. And we can expend a lot of energy and work and laboring and these kind of things and just being beaten down by the world. But let me ask you this, does God get your best on Sunday? When you come to this place, is it just more, not a matter of just getting in here and checking it off the list, or is it, God, I'm here to worship You? Amen. We see the heart of Cain in the fact that he held back a selfish gift. Abel's was a selfless gift, and Cain's was a selfish gift. And so we see the description here in this passage of Cain, what the Bible gives us about him. But here's what I want you to see secondly this morning. I want you to see the description of God's judgment and grace. Can I say this morning, that God's judgment and grace go hand in hand? They seem like they would be opposite things. But the truth is, listen, where God sends judgment, God also gives opportunity for grace in our lives. Can I tell you this morning, the salvation plan is God's judgment upon our lives and the fact that we are sinners. Unless we accept Jesus Christ's gift of salvation, we will spend eternity in a place called hell. And that's God's judgment upon our sins. But along with that judgment, God says, I'll give you grace. Because I've sent my Son to come to this earth and die on the cross for your sins. And if you'll accept His gift of salvation, that's my grace being given to you. You go back to the Old Testament, listen, throughout God's scriptures, you see a picture of judgment alongside of grace. Listen, God's judgment upon the old world was the idea of a worldwide flood for their sins. But God's grace was seen in the building of an ark, that those that believed in God could step foot on that ark. And so every time we see God's judgment, we see God's grace. And listen, in this passage, we see the same thing. Would you look, first of all, at God's judgment? The Bible tells us that God judged the offerings. Listen, as they both brought their offerings unto God, the Bible tells us that of Abel's offering, God had respect unto it. In other words, God accepted that offering, and unto Cain's offering, He had not respect. Understand this. Listen, it's not as though God took those offerings and compared them side by side and said, Abel's is better and Cain's is worse. Listen, God doesn't compare you to somebody else. He compares you to what He has given you in His Word. Amen. That's how we line up before God. Understand this, listen. As God brought judgment upon that offering, understand this, that God is a reasonable God. Here's what I want you to understand. Listen, Cain knew exactly what God expected of him. You say, how do you know that? Look at verse 7 here in our passage. God comes to him, He says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Listen, in other words, if you would have done right, if you just simply done what you're supposed to do, what I had commanded you to do, your offering would have been accepted. Can I say this morning, God doesn't expect anything from us more than what He's presented to us in His Word. You won't stand before God one day and He won't look at you and say, well, listen, you didn't know about this, but I expected this out of you. No, God is a reasonable God. God is a just God, and He gives us His Word. But make no mistake about it this morning, we will be held accountable for the things He's recorded in His Word, the things that He's given to us for us to live the Christian life by. And so we must understand that. But understand this. Listen, Cain had an attitude of pride. This is what I want to do. I understand what God expects of me, but this is how I want to live my life. His heart was lifted up in pride. And I'm reminded, listen, we'd better be careful not to approach God with the attitude of what we want, but rather what He wants for us. Amen. It's so easy sometimes to live this life doing only what I want to do. And listen, sometimes that's the easy thing. just to simply do what I want to do. And yet God comes to us and God gives us through His Word. And whether it be through preaching or whether it be through personal Bible study or a Sunday school class or counsel, God speaks to our heart. And listen, we have to make the decision, either I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do or I'm going to do what I want to do. But many times those things are separate. Listen, Cain's pride there, it led to a jealousy. I mean, this was his younger brother. He was the older brother, no doubt about it. Listen, I'm the youngest of three boys. I understand sibling rivalry. I was on the back end of a lot of things growing up. Listen, we played basketball in our backyard. My dad put a basketball hoop up. And I would beg for my brothers to show me some kind of mercy on the basketball court, and not once did they give it. Every time, I know, you're going to feel bad for me this morning and just, you know, say, aw, you know. But as the youngest of three boys, listen, I don't think I ever won a basketball game growing up. I was the shortest of three boys as well. I know you find that hard to believe this morning. But I never won a football game, never won a basketball game. And I understand this idea of sibling rivalry, and listen, no doubt about it, Cain's pride led to jealousy. God's accepted my brother's offering, but not mine. No doubt, listen, Cain lifts himself up. God's being unreasonable. And listen, this happens to us as we live this life. Listen, as we live and do what we want to do, and as we get our heart lifted up in pride, and we find maybe God's judgment in our lives in a certain area, sometimes we can even find ourselves saying this, well, God's just being unreasonable. I can't believe God would send another trial in my life. Another difficulty, and something else in my life. Look what verse 5 says. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Listen, this idea of his countenance falling was not that he was ashamed before God Almighty. No, this idea is that anger crept throughout his life, so much so that it showed forth on his very face. No mistaking the fact that Cain was wroth and irate with God. Started with pride. It turned to jealousy. And then it turned to anger. I want you to turn over to Proverbs chapter 19 this morning. Proverbs chapter 19. There's a biblical principle that God gives to us in the book of Proverbs that we need to observe this morning. The Bible tells us in verse 3 of Proverbs 19, the foolishness of man perverteth his ways. Listen, our decision to go against God, it's foolishness and it perverts our way. Listen, it gets in the way of us living a godly life. But look what the Bible says. In the midst of that unrepentant sin, or that midst of living in sin, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Listen, in other words, listen, if I'm willing to stay in my sin, if God confronts me, much like he came to Cain, and he confronted him and he said, listen, what you've done was wrong, and you know what is right. If I'll simply stay in my sin, listen, my heart is at odds with God. I begin to fret against God. I begin to think I've been done a raw deal. Listen, much like Cain there, it was a heart of pride that turned to jealousy. And sometimes we may even look at someone else and say, well, why is God blessing them? I deserve the blessing from God. I deserve to have this. And listen, that pride turns to jealousy. And if it's not cared for, listen, that jealousy will turn to anger. Matthew Henry said it this way. He said, it's a certain sign of an unhumbled heart to quarrel with those rebukes that we have by our own sin brought upon ourselves. When God confronts us with sin, listen, it's silliness to look at God and begin to argue back and forth with him and say, God, you've been unjust to me. No, this truth is that we're living the way that we should not be living. And God has to judge us. Pride makes a fool of us, doesn't it? You look at the life of Cain there, and you see Cain in the way he's living, and all of us are able to look at that passage and say, well, Cain, if you just would have changed your heart, things would have been so different. But can I say that's what Satan desires of all of us? To have a heart that's lifted up in pride. That when God speaks to us, when God maybe uses a message to work in our hearts, that instead of responding in the right way into that message, that we'd have our hearts lifted up in pride. Or when God sends some type of judgment in our lives and some grace, the confrontation says, listen, you need to change some things. Satan desires that we'd have a heart that's lifted up in pride, that we'd reject those things, and that we go on living the way that we have been living. So we see a description of God's judgment there in chapter 4, but would you also see a description of God's grace? Go back to chapter 4 if you would. Because God in His great grace gives Cain another chance. A chance to make a change, if you will. He says in verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And God comes to Cain in the midst of his sin, in the midst of his heart being lifted up in pride, and He says, listen, if you would have just done what you're supposed to do. But here's what I see from this passage. God gives Cain a chance to make a change. He's not talking just about the past, but He's talking about going forward in the future. That you can make the change. Listen, it's a chance to change his heart. Cain's been caught before an almighty God. He knows he's done wrong. The evidence is there. God sees all things. Listen, I'm somewhat reminded of the child that gets into the candy jar. They're not supposed to be in there. It's dinner in just a few hours. And mom's told them no. And they have chocolate all over their face. It's an amazing thing to me that kids cannot feel food on their face, right? How does that happen? That kid's got chocolate all over their face, and mom comes to them, and there may be a trail of candy wrappers on the ground. Mom looks at that child and says, did you do what you weren't supposed to do? And in that moment, that child makes a decision. I'm either going to own up to this thing and ask for forgiveness and ask for mercy of my mom, or I'm going to hold on to my lie. And they look at you and they say, no, I've not been in the chocolate. I don't know what you're talking about. And it's all over their face, and you can tell, and the evidence is right there. And listen, this is kind of the idea that I see with Cain here. God is standing before him. Listen, the evidence is there. God sees all things, and God comes to Cain, gives him a chance to make a change. He exposes his heart of pride and his sin, and then he gives him a chance, listen, to repent and make a change. Can I say this? Listen, every time God brings judgment in our lives, God brings grace to us as well. I'm talking to someone that may be here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Listen, the judgment of God is that if you die in your sins without asking God's forgiveness, that you will spend eternity in a devil's hell. Listen, that's not something that God wants for your life, but that is God being just, holding you accountable for your actions. But I want to say, while God gives that judgment to you, listen, God also gives grace, and if you'll humble your heart before God and you'll call upon Him and accept Him as your personal Savior, listen, you can experience God's grace, but it means you're going to have to humble your heart, and it means you're going to have to repent and turn from your sins. But God, as He gives judgment, He gives grace. Can I say to this, as us as Christians this morning, that God gives us grace every time that we sin? That God comes to us in the midst of our sin, and He comes to us and He confronts us with that sin, but He gives an opportunity for grace. And boy, I can't tell you in my life how many times I've failed God as a father, as a husband, as a Christian, going against God and sinning against Him, and yet God comes to you and, by the way, it's not easy, is it? It's not easy to humble your heart. And if we're not careful, we can be lifted up in our pride and we can speak out against God and say, well, listen, God, I'm doing this and that and I'm doing just fine. Would you just leave me alone, instead of humbling our hearts before Him and repenting and turning from that sin? But it's the goodness of God that brings the grace. But here's what I want you to see. Go down to the end of verse 7. He says this to him in giving his grace, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. But at the end of verse 7, he says, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. When I first read that, I wondered what he was speaking about, and I began to study that. Here's what God's talking about there. He's talking about the birthright. He's talking about him still qualifying or having the idea of that birthright. Listen, one of the reasons that Cain would have been so upset that God accepted Abel and not Cain is because Cain thought, possibly I've lost this birthright. I've lost this opportunity. But here's the awesome thing. Listen, God offers grace and he offers forgiveness. Amen. But think about this. God offers restoration as well. Amen. Not only does God offer grace in our lives and not only does he offer forgiveness, but God offers restoration. You see the story here. You see Cain and you see him sinning against God Almighty, doing what he's not supposed to do. And God comes to him and God confronts him and he says, listen, I've got grace if you'll turn from your ways and I've got forgiveness for you, but I also have restoration. And listen, there's times that we may come before God and we feel like we've failed him for the millionth time. You're not the only one that thinks that way. And we say, listen, I just don't know. I know God has great grace, and I know God has great mercy, and I know God has great forgiveness, but I just don't know. I don't know if he has enough grace for me this time. I'm here to tell you, listen, if you'll repent of that, when God comes to you, that God has enough grace for you this morning. God has enough forgiveness for you this morning, and God has enough restoration for your life. As the prodigal son, I think about him. What allows the prodigal son to go back home? Well, a couple things. First of all, he has to humble his heart, doesn't he? He says, I'm willing to become a servant. And then he has to turn away from his sin, repent from his sin, and walk back home. But what has to happen on the other end? There's got to be a father there that's looking down that road, that has enough grace to forgive that child who has wronged them so many times. But you see the picture that the scriptures give us, that father's looking down that road every day. And one day, here comes the prodigal son. He's humbled his heart. He's ready to ask for forgiveness. He's repented from his sins, and you see a father run to him with open arms. And listen, not just to forgive him, to make him a servant, but to forgive him and make him his son again. To restore him back to what he had lost by turning away from the Father. And listen, I might add this morning, that's the picture of what God does for us as Christians. In the midst of our time of sin, in the midst of time in which we've wronged God and we've gone against him, God comes to us and he confronts us and he says, listen, if you'll just turn from that, I can restore you, I can forgive you, I can give you grace. But it takes a humble heart. It takes a repentant heart. A willingness to acknowledge that I've done wrong and to turn and repent from that sin and run back to God. But I want you to finally see in conclusion, and we're almost finished this morning, not only do we see a description of God's judgment and God's grace, but look finally at a warning that God gives us in this passage. It's found there in verse 7. He says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Here's the opportunity to make things right. But then he gives a warning to Cain. He says, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. He says, listen, right around this corner, you have a decision to make. Either repent and do things the right way, or if you leave from here without getting your heart right, right around that corner is more sin, more temptation, more entanglements. Listen, because as God confronts us in our sin, and when God convicts our heart, we respond in one of two ways. We either confess and forsake it. We humble our heart before God and we say, God, I understand what you're saying. I understand I've gone against you, and I'm going to humble my heart. Or listen, we harden our heart against God. We harden our heart. Listen, this can happen for the unsaved person. As God convicts you of your sin, you can push God away and you can harden your heart so much to him. But can I say this happens as well for the saved person who's been forgiven of their sins? When God comes and convicts us of our sin and God says it's time to repent from that, we can push God away and we can harden our heart for him. I want you to turn to James in chapter 1. James in chapter 1 this morning, because I want you to see as James gives us the progression of sin in our lives. Can I say it this way this morning? Every unconfessed sin leads to greater entanglement. As we live the Christian life, every unconfessed sin leads to greater entanglement in the Christian life. James in chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, but every man is tempted when he has drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Listen, this is how sin begins. It begins in the mind and the thought process. There's a temptation that the devil sends our way. An enticement, a lust for our minds. Listen, can I tell you, help you? If you're a Christian this morning, God will convict you in the thought process before the sin has ever been carried out. God will come to you in your mind and say, listen, this is something you shouldn't be thinking about. You know this goes against my word. And listen, as we're walking with God, as we're fellowshipping with God, listen, as the thoughts come in our minds and the temptation comes, God comes to us, convicts us of that. And listen, it better be dealt with at that point. We better deal with that sin. We better ask God, listen, I'm sorry, God. Please forgive me of this thought that I've had. Please help me to repent of that, not to think of that again. The Bible says that's where it starts. But then look at verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. What happens is the thought that's not dealt with, it's not repented of, turns into an action. And listen, this is when God comes to us again and says, you've done what you're not supposed to do. It's time to repent of that sin and turn away from it. Listen, as we're in the Christian life, God will once again intervene. And by the way, listen, it better be taken care of at this point. Yeah. That's a wise person will respond to God's conviction in the midst of their sin and say, God, I understand and I'm willing to repent and turn away from this. But look when it's not dealt with then. The Bible says, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. For the unsaved person, the person that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, the very truth of the matter is that your sin, if it's not addressed, will send you to a devil's hell. And that's the death that he's speaking of here, but can I help you understand as well this morning for the Christian that unconfessed sin that allows to build up in our lives will bring death to relationships. It'll bring death to God's hand of blessing upon our lives. It'll bring death to a lot of things that we would want to have in our lives. Cain's life progression here, it's seen. It starts with the heart of pride. And then it moves to jealousy. It's not dealt with at that point of jealousy. It moves to anger, and it's not dealt with at anger, even though God comes to Cain and says, listen, this is your chance to make a change. This is your chance to look at me and acknowledge me. But look what it leads to. It leads to murder. Back in Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Wouldn't it be an incredible thing if you go back to verse 7, you could say, listen, Cain, this is your chance, and you could go back and you could make a change, and we wouldn't have to deal with verse 8. And understand this morning, that God gave Cain that opportunity. This story could have been so much different, and here's what I want to help you out with this morning. Listen, our story could be so much different if when God comes to our hearts, he begins to convict our hearts that we would turn from that sin and we would acknowledge our wrongdoing and ask for forgiveness from God. Because listen, we may not go out and murder someone, but unconfessed sin may lead us to do something from which there's no turning back from. Something for which, listen, obviously Abel is not coming back from the grave. This is something permanent. And by the way, listen, that's how Satan wants it. He wants you to end up at some point in your lives where you'll say, I'll never go back to a church again. I'll never listen to a preacher. I'll never pick up a Bible again. Listen, that's where Satan desires every Christian life to be. And God comes to us, and he gives us a chance to make a change in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our wrongdoing. He gives grace to all mankind. The question is, are we willing to repent and humble our heart to receive God's grace? And so maybe I'm speaking to someone here today. You say, that's me. I have a propensity towards my heart being lifted up in pride. Can I say all of us struggle with that? We all struggle with a prideful heart. And maybe there's someone that says, listen, God's confronted me and he's come to me on more than one occasion with a chance to make a change. And I've pushed God away, but this morning I realize that's not something I want to continue in. In just a few moments, we're going to have an invitation. I'd encourage you to come to the altar and do business with God today. And allow God to make that change in your life. Maybe there's someone here today and you say, listen, I'm too far gone. Even God, maybe if you're not saved, even God couldn't save me. Or if you are saved, listen, I've done so much against God that God can't restore me. And I would say to you this morning, God can. God has forgiveness and God has restoration for you. Or maybe there's someone simply here that would just say, Lord, help me to be sensitive to your conviction in my life. I don't want to ever get to the place where Cain was at in his life, that his heart was so lifted up in pride that when you dealt with him, that he wouldn't make the change. Lord, help my heart to remain soft and sensitive to your leading and to your conviction. Cain was given a chance to make a change. I wonder how many times God has given us a chance to make a change, and we've ignored him to our own detriment and to other people's detriment. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Appreciate so much the way that you've listened this morning. I trust that God has used this message in our lives to help us to understand the way God works in the Christian life. How God convicts us of sin. Let me first mention to you this morning, if you're not saved today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you to come down to an altar this morning where someone can take a Bible and show you from God's Word how you could know for sure that you're going to spend eternity with God in heaven. You'll never make a better decision than the decision to accept Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness of your sins. And then maybe there's a Christian here this morning. You say, it's exactly what I've been experiencing. Maybe it's a heart lifted up in pride. Maybe it's God has come to me with a chance to make a change and I've rejected him. Or maybe it's someone that just says, listen, I want to pray that God will keep my heart sensitive to his leading and to his conviction. We're going to have a word of prayer and then I'm going to stand and sing a hymn of invitation. And I'd invite you to use the altar this morning. Allow someone to take a Bible if you need to, a personal worker, and show you from God's word what God would have for us. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your goodness. I thank you for this message from your word, Lord, the chance to make a change. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to all of our hearts, Lord. I pray that we'd be willing, Lord, to do business with you this morning. I pray if there may be someone that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, that this morning they would call upon you and accept you as their Savior, Lord, and forgiveness of sins. I pray for maybe there's a Christian here today, Lord, that just needs to come to the altar. Maybe you've spoken to their heart and they would come here and, Lord, ask your help. We love you and we thank you for all these things. In your name I pray. Amen.